That's a good morning, you know that?
Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Rosh Hashanah is Daf Vav. We're in Hamad Beis. We're in the bottom of the Amud, and we are continuing on the discussion of Al Te'achir. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned with Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The discussion of Al Te'achir is one that has been taking us now for the past couple of days. We started the discussion going back to Daf Dalid, and the reason why it's part of our discussion in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah is because it now explains the other aspect of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, one of the four Rosh Hashanahs of the year. So there are two aspects to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Number one, it's Rosh Hashanah Malachim. It's Rosh Hashanah for the king. So we spent the first 2.5 blot of the Masechta learning exactly what that means. It's an accounting issue. It's a way of recording accurately the dates of any note, so that notes are not predated or postdated. And then the next part of the point of the Mishnah is that's Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim. It's the first of the Yontif. So what does that mean? What is the first of the Yontif? What difference does it make? Which Yontif we'll call first? So it makes a difference in terms of making a pledge. I make a pledge, and I say I'm going to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, so now I'm on the clock. The Torah tells me that I'm not allowed to delay. Once I establish I'm going to bring a carbon, so I am dutifully bound to bring the carbon to the base of Mikdash as soon as possible. There is a mitzvah sese, there's a positive commandment to try to bring it as quickly as possible, and there's a lav, there's a negative prohibition if I delay. As we pointed out, you turn to Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis in Sefer Devarim. The Torah says, Ki Sidur Neder La Hashem Lokecha, if I make a pledge, a neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Se Acher L'Shalmo. Do not delay in paying it back. Ki Darush Yishe Shenu Hashem Lokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands it, he wants the Meimach from you, Vayava Chachet, and you'll have a sin if you don't bring the carbon. So you're going to delay. If you delay, so you're in violation of a lo sase. The Torah says, lo sase l'shamo. It's a lav in the Torah. So at what point exactly am I violating this isser in the Torah? So that has been our discussion for the past couple of days. That is what the Mishnah refers to. Our Mishnah takes the position that you have to go through three yontifs, but not just three yontifs, but in a row. Meaning Pesach being number one, Shavuos and Sukkot 2 and 3. As we pointed out, you can make your neder according to our Mishnah, which, by the way, happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. You can make the neder immediately after Pesach, and you'll have a lot of time to make good with your pledge. So you make your neder right after Pesach. So you'll go hit Shavuos, and you'll hit Sukkot, and the clock hasn't started yet. And not until next Pesach, now have we hit Yontif number one, and then Shavuos and Sukkot will be 2 and 3. So you'll have about a year and a half to go ahead and to make good with your pledge. That's our Mishnah's position. That's Rabbi Shimon's position. There are no less than 4 other opinions on this matter in terms of when one violates the Isser of Baal Te'acher. Just quickly to review, the Tanakhama's position is that you violate Baal Te'acher when you hit 3 regalim, any 3 regalim, in no particular order. So it can be greater than, I was going to say 6 months. Actually, can be greater than 6 months, because you can make the pledge right after Shavuos, and then you'll have till Pesach. So it'll be almost a year minus 50 days. Okay? Actually, that little point over here, there, I mean, everything I'm saying by review is good, but that point is good because that's going to come back later today. So hold that thought in mind. That if it doesn't have to be 3 yontifs in a row, in any particular order, so it can't, it's going to be less than a year. Okay, hold that thought, because that's going to come up at the end of today's daf. And then 3 other opinions in terms of when you violate Baal Te'acher. So takes us all back to the brises on the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph and the top of Dalet Amud Beis. So the next opinion is that of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says just one yontif, and it doesn't matter which one. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is 2 yontifs. And finally, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is that Chag HaSukkos. Chag HaSukkos is the yontif where you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Okay? 5 opinions, as we pointed out, the Rambam takes the approach. It's 3 yontifs, any 3 yontifs. It's not with no regard to any particular order. Fine. That has been the topic of our discussion. We are on the very bottom of Hamad Beis, and we're starting now with V'haya b'chachei v'lo b'karbancha. As I just read in the pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis. So the Torah says that if you delay in paying your obligation, so you have a sin. And the Torah is very clear. You're going to have a sin, but the carbon is going to be fine. The carbon will not be disqualified if, in fact, you delay in bringing the carbon. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that from the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, how do I know that from the Pasuk? We're in the Gemara now, we're on the bottom of Hamad Beis, we're about 10 lines from the bottom, we're continuing from where we left off yesterday. The Gemara says, we have another source in the Torah that tells me this very same halacha, Detanya. I might think that a bechor, firstborn animal needs to be brought within the first year of his life. Now remember, firstborn animal, kedushaso meirechem. From the moment that it comes out of the world, into the world, it has kedusha, it has sanctity. It's a bechor, it's the firstborn. And I'm then bound to give it to a kohen. It's manas kahuna. And the kohen does well with it. He brings it as carbon, the base of mikdash. So now, and just point out that the halacha is that it should be brought in within its first year. Okay, and Rashi quotes a pasuk lefnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana bashana. So it needs to be brought in within its first year. So now, what if I don't bring it within its first year? Would we consider the carbon now to be disqualified, even though you delayed? So Tam Lomar v'achat lefnei Hashem Elokecha masad degan chati rosh chavitzarecha. In one pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah equates all the agricultural tithings to that of the carbon bechor. Mekish bechor la meiser, my meiser ain't no nifso mishan al chaverta. Av bechor ain't no nifso mishan al chaverta. So when it comes to meiser does not become disqualified from 1 year to the next. Where meiser can stick around. Now again, you can't separate from 1 year to the next. Every year has to be kept separate for one another, but that's a separate halacha. We're just simply saying that once I separate a Meiser, like Meiser Sheni, for example, which has Kedusha, so can I hold on to it for a while? Sure. Truth of the matter is, as Rashi over here points out, at the end of 3 years, so then you need to get rid of all the Meiser Sheni that you have in your house. And you make the declaration, Parshas Kisavo, Biartias HaKodesh, Menabayas, I got rid of all the kodesh, but in other words, but you're allowed to keep it from 1 year to the next. So, and in that very same pasuk where it describes Meister Sheni, also the Torah describes Bechor. Even though the Bechor should be brought within its first year, it's okay if you bring it beyond that point in time. It's not okay for you, you violated Baal Te'acher, but it's okay for the animal. So it's the Rechza, the Gemara says, I need both sources. The Pasuk in Kiseitse and the Drush that we just learned from Parshas Re'eh. It's Rechza Akadach, Amin Ahani Mila Bechor Dla Varatza, Huava Kachan Debnei Arza Ninu. Eima Lo Lirtsu Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why Bechor would not have set up the paradigm and would not have set up the precedent. Because Bechor is a carbon, but it doesn't create any type of Ritsui. It's automatic, and you're not getting any type of residual kapara. In other words, it's a carbon. It's just simply a carbon. But as opposed to a chatas, an asham, even a carbon ola, right? Tosfos on the very bottom points out, even a carbon ola, which is mechaper for neglecting positive commandments. They all provide a hard saw. They provide kapara ritzui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I become good with God when I bring the carbon. So I might have thought that I need a ritzui of the carbon, so there I can't delay. Because if I delayed, I violate an Isser in the Torah, and it's almost like even though Rashi doesn't say it exactly this way, it's almost like mitzvah haba ba'avera. Meaning, I'm trying to bring a carbon, but meanwhile I delayed in bringing it. Right? If you take a look at that Rashi, the last Rashi, Rashi almost says it. Right? Eima lo lirtzu me'acher shehevian ba'avera. You brought it in a state of avera. Meaning, you brought it beyond the time that you should have brought it. You brought it while having violated Baal Te'acher. So I might have thought that since there's a slight avera in what you're doing, a slight avera, meaning Baal Te'acher. So I might have thought, therefore, it shouldn't create a ritzui.
If the time is lapsed, why is it still mitzvah? Is it mitzvah?
Right, so that it's not. Meaning,
it's not a mitzvah anymore.
No, it's still, in other words, the carbon is totally unaffected. Meaning, what the Torah is teaching us is that this Isser is an all-you Isser. Meaning, it doesn't affect the carbon whatsoever. It has no impact on the carbon whatsoever. That's what the Torah is telling us when the Torah says, Vayab b'chachet. You're going to have the sin, but the carbon is going to be totally unaffected. And the Havamina was, no. In other words, the fact that you violated the Isser Baal Te'acher means that you can't get a ritzui with this carbon. That's the Havamina. But the conclusion is, Vayab b'chachet. So the Gemara says, V'akati, we're now on the top of Avam, and Aleph Memi Benazai Nafka. So the Gemara says, what about Benazai? Don't we learn it out from Benazai? Meaning, or again, we're going to generate the same halacha, but a different source. Detanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Benazai Omer, Oso Matam Alam, Lefish Nehemar, Lo Se'acher L'Shamo. Torah says the word oso in the middle, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Where does it say it? Regarding the prohibition of pigle. Okay, you remember pigle? It's a topic that was discussed often in Masechta Zvachim. I say often, you remember? It was just blot after blot on the topic of pigle. What is pigle? Pigle is when a Kohen shechs a karban, or does any one of the dalal avodas, any one of the significant avodas regarding a karban, and has a machshava, has a thought, which he articulates, and he says that I'm going to eat this karban chutzas mano. And there's also a subcategory of chutzim kamo. But anyway, I'm going to eat this karban chutzas mano. Every karban has an allotted time in which it can be eaten. And when the Kohen shechs the karban, he says, I'm going to eat it beyond its allotted time. That's a machshavas pigle, and that disqualifies the karban. Eating the meat of a karban that was rendered pigle is a kares penalty. So the Torah says that it becomes pigle. Okay, Perek Zayin in Vayikra. V'im neder nedava zevach karbanot b'yam mikrovot zivcho yechel mimacharas v'anosar mimene yechel v'anosar mipsar zevach b'yam ha-shlishi b'yish yisareif. Sorry, here, okay, I'm there now. V'im heyachol yechel mipsar zevach shlama b'yam ha-shlishi. If you eat it on the third day, or again, the way we're understanding is if you think of eating on the third day, lo yeratzeh, the karban does not provide ritsui, meaning the karban is totally ineffective. Hamakriv oso. When you offer such an animal. Now we know, we see this all the time in the Gemara. When the Torah says the word oso, it's an exclusionary term. When you bring a pigle animal, that becomes disqualified. But what is the Torah telling us? This animal is disqualified, but another type of carbon, which is similar, is not going to be disqualified. So I might have thought that Baal Te'acher, that when you delay bringing your carbon, it also shouldn't affect the Ritzui. Let's think about it. They are very similar to one another. Meaning, what's the idea of pigle? I have a certain time in which I'm supposed to eat it. I eat it beyond the allotted time. Or I think about eating it beyond the allotted time. What's Baal Te'acher? I have a certain time in when I should bring the carbon. I bring it after it's allotted time. So the truth of the matter is that these prohibitions are similar to one another. So I might have thought, now the Gemara says, you could have constructed a very good argument. Just like pigle does not create ritzui, so too Baal Te'acher also doesn't create ritzui. Tam Lomer, oso, and that's what the oso of the pasuk is coming to do, to differentiate. Oso below yeratzei, v'in me'acher nidro below yeratzei. Fine. So the Torah says, they're not, that even though they're similar, but the halachic result is not the same. For pigle, no ritzui. The carbon does not provide any type of effective kapara. For Baal Te'acher, the carbon's still fine. So the Gemara says, okay. So now we have the halacha we learned out from the drush of Ben Azai. And, oh, by the way, we also have it from the Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh as well. So now, the original Pesuk in Parshas Kiseitze, which actually deals with the prohibition in the Torah of Baal Te'acher, so what is the Torah telling you when the Torah says, V'ayu b'chachet, that you're going to have a sin? Meaning, and we already now know, based on the other drashas, that the carbon is going to be unaffected, even though it was brought beyond its time, its prescribed time. So the Gemara says a totally different drasha. And the drasha is that you're going to bear the sin, and your wife is going to get off scot-free. So now generally speaking, I know philosophically this is going to be a little bit challenging. I understand that. But generally speaking, so when it comes to schar va'onesh, so usually you have to worry only about yourself. You generally speaking don't have to worry about other people sinning, even in your immediate circle, and that affecting you. Yes, we say that katanim and all that they do is going to be on you. That's why with the bar mitzvah you say baruch shepatrani. Okay, now I'm off the hook. Okay, I can, you know, I'm you're right. Go ahead, you're on your own now, kid. So the okay, but generally speaking, though the behavior of others does not impact you in terms of schar va'onesh, but husband and wife relationship, it's a closer relationship. They have vayu l'basar echad. They're one unit. And so therefore, right, there is a consideration, as we're going to see in our Gemara right now, there is a consideration that The wife is going to bear some of the burden of her husband. So the Gemara says the Gemara says in very strong terms. I mean, I'm saying it nicely. And the Gemara, as you'll see, will say it in much stronger terms, right? So let's say someone goes to the husband and says, "Where's my money?" And the husband says, "I don't know." Meanwhile, husband took the money. He knows exactly where the money is. Basically, he's not paying his obligations. Now, the Gemara is not exactly clear about what obligation we're talking about. Money that he stole, which is what I just suggested. Rashi here says nothing. You have to look in the Gemara in Zvachim, or the Gemara in Zvachim, same Gemara in Zvachim. Rashi over there says what I just described, money he stole. So you have to see the Gemara in Zvachim. Tosus over there doesn't like the Rashi. Tosus over here also takes issue with the Rashi. But anyway, let's just deal with the basic point. The point is that when the husband has an obligation, shirks his obligation, doesn't pay back the money that he took, so the wife has to own some of the burden of that chait. Shenamrei men lecha l'shalem lamikach mishkavach mitachtecha. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, and the pasuk in Mishlei pretty much says it, that if you don't have money to pay back, you have an obligation, you don't pay the obligation, so ikach mishkavach mitachtecha, your wife will be taken away from you. So the Gemara says, no, now you see that there is a burden, there is an onus, and a responsibility that the wife has for her husband's sins. So I might have thought now, again, I understand that's difficult, but I might have thought now that this too now is going to fall under the category, because essentially it's the same basic idea. You said you're going to bring a carbon. You're delaying in bringing the carbon. You're not bringing your carbon. So I might have thought that this also would impact your wife. So that's the v'haya b'chachet. So ema b'haya avon de balteach enam ishtal mesa kamash malan. So the chiddush is that, no, this is, for reasons which the Gemara does not articulate, this is different. This is not the same, and this is not going to, your wife is not going to bear any type of iniquity. I guess you could, I mean, one of the things we could walk away from this Gemara understanding is that, in other words, sometimes the wife nudges the husband. So if you want any type of source in the Gemara where the wife should nudge the husband, so right over here, our daf today speaks to the idea that the wife should be nudging the husband. So I don't know. Meaning, I understand the question, right?
The only reason they say men because he owns them.
Okay, could be. It could be. I don't know. Yes, Danny.
Is there a fundamental difference between the Pigel case and the Balteacher case? Because Pigel, it's the Kohen who's not doing it. It's not the actual donor.
Correct. He's doing it while doing the Avodah. He's having the Machshava. Yeah, correct. It's more of an affront, but again, in concept, it's a similar idea. And that's it lent to the Havamina. The conclusion is they're not the same. But at least in the Havamina, the Gemara had a consideration that it's the same. Tana Rabbana Motzeis Vasecha Zumitz Vasesei. Now, before I go on in the Gemara, let me just point out, as I mentioned yesterday, a lot of talk in the Gemara about this prohibition of Baal Teach. A lot of talk in the Gemara, not a lot of talk in the Torah. The Torah only dedicates one pasuk in Chumash to this prohibition of Baal Teach. But that's all you need. You don't need more than one pasuk. The Torah says don't do it, so that's it. The Torah says don't do it. Don't delay your pledges. We have now started the discussion back on Daf Dalet, and now it's Daf Hey, and now it's Daf Vav, and we're still talking about Baal Teachim. So we are on to the next pasuk in Chumash. Now the next pasuk in Chumash seems to be a little redundant. I'm going to go open the Chumash. We're going back to Perek Chav Gimel, and now pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay, I said the next pasuk. Okay, I of course meant two pesukim away. Okay, so again, the pasuk of base ki sidur nedel Hashem lo kech lo sach el shamo. Don't delay in paying back your pledges. Ki daroshi jeshen al kemach meimach v'yabachachet. Okay, pasuk of base, which we dealt with extensively, and then v'chisech dal lindor lo yebachachet. And oh, by the way, the Torah says, you know, it would be really good if you don't make a pledge. If you don't make a pledge, you're going to be in great shape. And then pasuk of dalid motzeis tfasecha tishmor. Anything that comes out of your mouth, you got to keep. You got to keep your word. V'asisa kasher nadarta, and do as you pledged. L'Hashem l'kecha nidava asher dibarta b'ficha. Any nidava, any donation that comes out of your mouth. Okay. Thematically, the exact same point. You say something, you make a commitment. You got to keep the commitment. But now, what the Gemara is going to deal with is a very simple issue. what is this pasuk contributing to our entire discussion? Tanu Rabbanu, so that's what the Gemara now is going to deal with. The Gemara is quoting a braisa. Motzei svasecha zu mitzvah saseh. So again, we have the pasuk, and now the Gemara is just chopping the pasuk up and generating the halachas. So from the words motzei svasecha, that's a positive commandment. Tishmor zu mitzvah lo saseh. The word shmor means the don'ts. Right? Like Zachor Yom HaShabbos Kacho and Shmor Yom HaShabbos. Right? Right, Zachar v'Shamor. Okay, anyway, Shmor means it's a negatives. The Asisa, Azar Labesin Shiasucha. The Asisa is a language of and make others do, which means that Basin has the responsibility that if you delay and you're being a little bit reluctant, so Basin can knock on your door. Truth of the matter is, Basin can do more than that. Basin has the power to enforce. Kashir Nadarta Zuneder. Now the word kasher nadarta, that's a reference to neder. That's easy. Lashem lokecha elu chataos v'hashamas olos u'shlamim. And then the Lashem lokecha, something which is going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the actual carbon itself. Ola shlamim chatas asham nidava kemashmao. Nidava is a donated offering. Asher dibarta, that which you said, elu kacha bedek habayis. That's any dedication to the bedek habayis, to the temple, upkeep. And beficha, that's a reference to tztaka. Okay, adkan. That's the end of the Braisa. So again, so what are we learning out from this Pasuk of Dalin? We're learning out basically all of the above. It's positive commandment, negative prohibition, based and can force you to do it. A reference to Karban, Bedek HaBayis, Saka.
Where do you get that these words mean this?
If you look at, that's a good question. If you look at Rashi over here deals with it not extensively. If you look earlier, where we basically did the same thing to Pasuk of Bayis, so Rashi over there did a much more thorough job in terms of connecting the words to the concepts. You look at Rashi in yesterday's daf, where he does more of that. Amar Mar, Motzei Sfasecha Zu Mitzvas Asei. So Lamali Mi Uvat Hashem Aveit Veitam Shema Nafka. So the Gemara is just going to now, like a machine gun, rattle off three questions in a row. So first of all, the first point. So you say something, you got to commit to what you got to keep what to your commitment. So the Gemara says, I know that already. Uvasa Shama Veveisa Shama. You're going to go to Yerushalayim and you're going to bring your karbanos. Okay, that's question number one. Question number two: Tishmar zu mitzvos lo saseh lamali me lo sachel l'shamo. A negative prohibition. That's pasuk of Beis, meaning you don't have to go that far back in Chumash. Just go back to Pesukim, and the Torah says you made a commitment. Don't delay lo sachel and nafka. The asis azar lebeis and shiasuch lamali. And then if you don't bring your carbon as you said you're going to do, now Basin has the right to come to your house, knock on your door, and say, okay, let's go. Come on. So the Gemara says, but we know that as well. Yakriv Oso Nafka. That comes out from the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. The beginning of Sefer Vayikra says Yakriv. What does the word Yakriv mean? That's Hifil. That's a causative conjugation of the verb. It means not only will you bring, others will make you bring. You said you're going to bring a carbon, you bring it. Detanya Yakriv Oso Malam Shikofen Oso. The Basin forces you to bring it. Now Yachol Bal Karcho now. Force you to bring it. Now, I might have thought the compulsion, even against your will. Now, Tamalam alerts, so no. No, you got to bring it willingly. Now, this brings us to one of the greatest contradictions in the world. Well, how can I bring something willingly if I'm being forced to do so? But the resolution is just as brilliant. So you make him say, I want to do it. So, Hakate said, Kofanosa, Shema Rotsani. So basically, you force him to want to do it, right? I don't want to bring it. So now in comes Basin and says, no, you're going to do it. Okay. No, that's not enough. You got to say you want to do it. Say you want to do it. Okay, I want to do it. And Basin will compel him to want to do it. Right? Correct. It sounds like a Hasidic idea. And the Rambam writes, you know, this Rambam, right, we all know. The Rambam writes that really every one of us wants to do the right thing. It's hardwired. We're hardwired to want to do the correct thing, but Kadosh Baruch Hu also gave us the Yetzirah. And so all Basin is doing is just basically beating the Yetzirah up, and really we really do want to do the right thing. And so the Gemara over here says same thing over here. But again, now we're right in the middle of three consecutive questions. We had Motzei Sfasecha Tishmor, which the Gemara says now that's redundant. And then the Pasuk Motzei Svasecha Tishmor, that's redundant. Then, the word Tishmor, which is a negative prohibition, that's redundant. And then Va'asisa, based on it's going to force you, that's redundant. Three redundancies in the Pasuk. So what do you do with all those redundancies? So the Gemara responds to all three with one answer. Chad Amar Velo Afrish, V'chad Afrish, Velo Akriv. There are two different scenarios where you're going to be violating the prohibition of delaying. One scenario is where I make a pledge. I make a verbal pledge. We're in shul, it's yontif, right? Who's going to bring a karbon? Now, unfortunately, that discussion doesn't occur. We don't have a base of mikdash. But who's ready to bring a karbon? So you raise your hand and say, I'm dedicating, I'm pledging, I'm going to bring a karbon. You make a verbal declaration. That is amar velo afrish. So you say it, but you don't actually have an animal. And then the second scenario is where you go one step even better. Not only do I make a verbal pledge, but I even set aside an animal. Meaning, I have an animal in my backyard, I point to it and I say, that animal is now going to be a karbon. And I was mafresh as a karbon. And remember, when it comes to hafreshes karbon, it's not complicated. An amira, a simple verbal declaration. And of course, owning an animal, that's essential. You can't be mocked as somebody else's animal. But a verbal declaration with an animal that you own makes the animal now a karbon. In both scenarios, I can violate the issur of lo se'acher. Utsricha, and the Gemara is going to point out, they're both necessary. Here the argument can be like this. If I made a verbal pledge, come on, you know people, verbal pledges, anyone can make a verbal pledge. You get an aliyah, right? You'll give money? Yeah, of course I'll give money. Okay, in other words, and the Torah has to basically go out of its way to tell us, you made a verbal pledge, make sure to keep it. But if I dedicated the animal, I'm obviously serious about my commitment. And the animal's already been dedicated as a karbon. All right, I know it's been three regalim and I haven't brought it yet. But I'm obviously going to bring it. I already dedicated it as a karbon, so maybe the Torah will give me a pass. So that's why the Torah has to tell me that in that scenario, you don't get a pass. The iyash mean an afresh v'lo akriv dekam mashulei gabei. Aval amar v'lo afresh ema dibor lo klum hu tzricha. And we can argue in the other direction as well. What's the other direction? Look, if I set aside the animal, so the Torah is basically saying, okay, no, let's bring it. Let's go. But if I just made a verbal declaration, we could have argued, okay, that's a verbal declaration, but that's dibor. Meaning how serious were you at the time? Now you're literally on the clock just because you made a verbal declaration? Yes. You're on the clock. So in other words, both points are needed. I wouldn't necessarily have learned one from the other point. In both scenarios, both when I just made a verbal declaration, or I actually was makdish an animal, in both scenarios I'm violating Baal Te'acher. If three yontifs go by and I don't bring the karbon. One is generated from the psukim in Parshas Ki Seitzeh, and the other one is generated from the other psukim the Gemara quoted. So the Gemara says, now that's interesting. One of the scenarios that we're just describing is Amar Velo Afrish, where he makes a verbal declaration but doesn't actually set aside the animal. Now, in the context of the Pasuk, the Torah is talking about two different types of karbon, Neder and Nedava. We said this many times, but let's say it again. What's the difference between Neder and Nedava? So let's we just read. Tanan, Ezu Neder Hamar Hare Alai Ola. Neder is when I make myself personally obligated to bring a karbon. The Ezu Nedava Hamar Hare Zu Ola. And Nedava is where I actually have the animal in front of me, and I say, this animal is a Ola. Umabe Neder Nedava, and the difference is Neder Meso Nignav Chayv Bachriyusa. Nedava Meso Nignav Ainu Chayv Bachriyusa. And the difference that we've said time and again, it's the Mishnah Megillah, we'll see it soon enough. And when we get to Masechta Megillah, is that when you make a neder, you have a personal liability. Something happens to the animal. Even if it's not your fault, you're still on the hook for a karbon. Nedava, you don't have a personal liability. Something happens to the animal. Look, it's a shame. I did dedicate that as a karbon, but the karbon's gone. Okay, it's not my problem. So so that's the difference between neder and nedava. And the question over here is a very simple question. Meaning, how can you tell me that categorically there are two scenarios? One where I pledge the animal, and the other was I just make a verbal declaration. There's no such thing as making a verbal declaration and having a nadava. By definition, a nadava is where the animal's right in front of me, and I dedicate the animal as a nadava. Once I'm making just a verbal declaration with no animal in front of me, by definition, that's a neder. So how can you?
Couldn't have it in mind an animal somewhere else.
All right, the Gemara is going to answer. So Amar Rava Mishkachala Kigon Da Amar Harei Alai Ola Amanash Enechai Be'Achriyasa. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we'll do. Meaning the scenario will be, it's a limited scenario, but the scenario will be where I dedicate the animal as a carbon, I say Harei Alai, the animal's not in front of me, but when I do get my hands on that animal, I excuse myself from any personal liability. I won't have personal liability. Now, how can you make such a stipulation? Right, we have a general idea of Masna Mashakasa Batara, that I can't rewrite the laws of the Torah, I can't make any conditions if it violates the Torah. So, is this a problem? So, take a look at the last Tosfos. Last Tosfos says, no, it's not a problem. Tosfos writes, "Amenash lo ach ischay b'achriyusa lo dami lamasna mashakasa b'Torah." So Tosfos says, no, it's not an issue. Okay, right? Tosfos could have been a little bit more expansive over there. Could have explained why it's not masna mashakasa b'Torah. But I guess I'm just suggesting. It's my you could do with it with what you like, but maybe because this is a monetary law, this is a monetary issue, and although it does have to do with carbon.
It's not but, it's
right, I maybe it could be you're right. Meaning that this is totally they're just lashon b'nei adam. This is okay. I don't know. Correct. All right. Right. Okay. Good. All right. Adkan. All right, so that takes us up to the first section of today's daf, and that is the Yisra of Baal Te'acher. First of all, the halacha that that you violate the Yisra, but the carbon will be unaffected. So we spent a good part of this morning discussing where the source for that was. We had three possible sources for that. Obviously, that was extraneous, it's superfluous. What we ended up doing is taking one of the drashas, Vayah b'chachet, b'chav lo b'ishtecha. Okay. Then what we did is we went two psukim ahead in Chumash, in Parshas Kisese, Perichav Gimel, Pasachav Dalid, Motseis Vasecha Tishmor, and we generated more halachas of Mitzvahs Esse, Mitzvahs Los Asse. It seems to be redundant. The Gemara explained that there were two different scenarios. One scenario where I just made a verbal declaration, a second scenario where I actually was Makdish the animal. Still, in both scenarios, I'm subject to the Yisra of Baal Te'acher. We go on in the Gemara, and now for a moment, back to Tzedakah. Generally speaking, we say that machshavos are not by itself not enough. You need some sort of declaration. It could be. Generally speaking, no. But again, we could debate it. But let's move on. The Amar Rava Mishkachala Kigon. I'm sorry. I did that. Beficha zutzdaka. Okay. In the pasuk in pasuk Chavdal, which we quoted, Moses Fasecha Tishmor. So the Torah ends off by saying, "Nedava Asher Dibarta Beficha," that which you said in your mouth. And what is that a reference to? So the Brisa said that's a reference to tzedaka. And then the Gemara makes the following declaration: Amar Rava, utzdaka mechayev Allah la'altar. When you make a dedication of tzedaka, you pledge money. So you gotta keep it right away. My taima, they come on him. Well, because there's a need. In other words, the assumption is that there's poor people around, and so if I pledge tzedakah, so there's no deadline. There's no three regalim right away. So now pshita, the Gemara says now seems to be pretty obvious, right? So the Gemara says, well, the Havamina would be, look, I understand that tzedakah is not the same as carbon, but context, look where tzedakah is placed in the Torah. It's placed in the Torah in the same place where the Torah is describing carbon. So I might have thought, I know there's a difference between tzedakah and carbon, but at least the context of the Torah is placing tzedakah right in the same pasuk as carbon. And the Havamina would have been, I have a three regal deadline, just like I have regarding carbon. Kamash Malan, that I don't have a three regal deadline. Okay. What's the problem with the Gemara that we just learned? The problem is, go back to Dav Dalid. If everyone could just take a quick turn back to Dav Dalid, and let's see a Gemara that we have already done, and we get to review again. Back Dalid Amad Aleph. Okay? Look at the very bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan Chayvei Hadamim Harachin Acharamim V'Akdeshos Chatos V'Hashamos Olus U'Shlamim Tzedakos U'Maitzros B'chor Maitz Pesach Maitz Pesach Lech Hashikha Peakim Shavar Olam Gimel Regalim Over Beval Te'acher. So once you cross three regalim, you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. So the problem is self-evident, but I'll still articulate. In other words, our Gemara over here says that when it comes to staka, you must give it immediately. And the halva mina would have been that I'm in violation of Baal Te'acher only with three regalim because it's linked to carbon. Kamash Malan, the chiddush is no, you got to give it right away. Okay. Meanwhile, you go back to Daf Dalid, and the Gemara over there says, I'll give you a list of things. Most of them are carbon related, but in that list, I'm also going to include staka as well. And staka, I have a Baal Te'acher deadline of three regalim, like all other carbonos. So it's a little bit strange. The havamina that the Gemara entertained over here, which the Gemara rejected, is exactly the point the Gemara made back on Daf Dalid. Okay, great. This is not groundbreaking. I'm not breaking any ground over here. This already was bothered by the Rishonim. So let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos back on Daf Dalid was bothered by this very question and provides the following suggestion. Okay, so Tosfos says like this, that yes, Rav says that you have to give it to the Aniyim, but that's, you have to give it immediately. Sorry, let me say that again, let me say it better. You have to give it immediately, but that's only if the Aniyim are present. If the Aniyim are present, that's going to require you to give it immediately. But imagine there are no Aniyim. Even if there are no Aniyim, now it defaults back to a regular carbon-like halacha. Where if there are no Aniyim, so now, just like a carbon, you're on the clock for three regalim. What happens after three regalim? So Tosos writes, you don't have to go chasing after Aniyim for the up until three regalim. Which means that after three regalim come and go, you have to start now actually positively searching, seeking Aniyim.
After two.
I hear you, but the Gemara says three, and Tosa says three. I totally understand your point. Mm-hmm. Meaning you want to avoid Baal Te'acher. Right. Okay, but I'm going to be fair though. I mean, I'm just reading the words of Tosfos. He does say after three.
Maximum of 30 days now.
So, what? 30?
No. What's the time limit?
So time limit like a carbon. You have three regalim. Right away means if there are aniyim. The way Tosos understands Tosos says there is no contradiction between the two Gemaras. It's like a carbon. You have three regalim, but if there are aniyim right standing right in front of you, so then you can't say, look, come back to me on by what Pesach, come back Shavuos. That you can't do. But the way Tosos understands it, though, however, at least conceptually, staka is just like carbon. The only difference is that the Ani's standing right there, so there's a pressing need. So then you got to take care of the pressing need.
What could be compared to is that the korban also has that the first, you actually mitzvah aseh is to give it the first.
Oh, very, very, very good.
Don't delay.
Then that's very good. Let me read on in Tosos. You'll see what he's saying. I'm gonna just read it through Tosos, but he guessed correctly. I might have thought that even when there's aniyim, you could basically say to the aniyim, hey, come back to me a regal from now, two regalim from now. You can't do that with aniyim standing right there. You got to give it to him right away. Fine. The ain lafarish, right? Ben, this is what you wanted to suggest. The ain lafarish da hadakamar over la alter hainu essay. Maybe what Rava was speaking to was a positive commandment. Remember, we in discussing Baal Te'acher are discussing two components to this prohibition. There's a prohibition and then there's a positive commandment. Maybe what Rava was speaking to was the positive commandment. That has to be done right away. So Tosfos says, I don't like that. Why? Because remember, if it's conceptually just like a carbon, by a carbon I have till the first regal, so the same thing should be true regarding staka. I have to the first regal. The Gemara doesn't say that. So Tosa says, I hear that pshat, but I don't like that pshat. It's not, don't make a distinction between the los ase and the ase. So really, it's very interesting. What basically Tosus is saying is that conceptually, tzedakah is like carbon. And the three regal balte acher deadline you have by carbon is the same by tzedakah as well. And the only mitigating circumstance is if the aniyim are right there. If the aniyim are right there, so then you got to give right away. And that's what Rav is teaching us. But if there are no aniyim, so then tzedakah becomes just like carbon. And you have till three regalim. That's Tosus' approach. Mind you, there are other Rishonim. I just gave you one way to attack this problem. That if Tosos say the Ran. The Ran also has another approach, but we're going to go on in the Gemara. Okay. Okay. What happened? Where did I go? Pshita ma'ad detema. No, we did that. Kekar kamash malan. I'm sorry. I should have read this line of Gemara. I apologize. Hasamu de talina rachmana beragalam avahacha lo dashchich aniyim. Okay. So the aniyim are always around, are always present, and therefore when the un is there, you got to give it right away. Amar Rava. Kevush sha'avar alav regal echad over ba'asei. Rava tells us that when do you violate the positive commandment? Meaning we know there's a positive commandment. Either it comes from the word Moses Fasecha, anything that comes out of your mouth you gotta keep, or as the Gemara pointed out earlier, it comes from the Pasuk of Uvasa Shama Vehevesim Shama. We know there's a positive commandment. You make a pledge, you gotta keep it. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, and Rava tells us that kicks in when? The first Yontif. Mesve the Gemara challenges, hey Rav Yeshua Rav Papayas, Avla Chamashi Kar Shlamim. Let's say your Karma Shlamim gets pregnant. Okay? Mazel tov, kind of. I mean, it is a good thing, but in other words, the Vlad has the same degree of Kedusha as its mother. And so therefore, the Vlad has to be brought as a carbon shlamim, just like the mother. So it's literally a residual of the mother. So it has the same status as the mother. So... So there was a testimony. There's a Mishnah in Adios. Rav Yeshua and Rav Papayas of Vlad Shlamim Shiakriv Shlamim. Am Rav Papayas ani mei shahaisa lanu parashol zivchei Shlamim v'achalnua bePesach. So mom, we enjoyed on Pesach. can't quote me out of context, right? So we ate mom on Pesach v'achanu Vlad Shlamim bechag. And then when do we have the Vlad? We ate the Vlad on Sukkos. Oh, delicious. Okay, now, is it both of them, of course, as carbon shlamin. Now, obviously, what that means is that we skip Shavuos. Right. Now, wait a second. Skipping Shavuos, now the law of the negative prohibition of Baal Te'achar is three regalim. Granted. But we just learned in the Gemara, there's a mitzvah essay, there's a positive commandment, which kicks in after the first yontif. Now, Bishlama bePesach lo akarvu emad mechusus manhu. Now, I understand that the Vlad was not brought on Pesach itself because mechusus man. We know the Torah says, we read it every yontif, that you have to wait 8 days before you can bring a newborn as a karban, right? Yom Hashvina v'hala yeratzeh. So good. So I understand that the baby was born on Pesach and you can't bring it on Pesach. Mechusus man. I get that. Okay, but you got Shavuos. So the Ella Vlada Batseris Echimashila Vavri Allah Basay. And now you could just make the simple statement that they violated the Mishnah's essay. But let's not say that. Let's assume compliant with the Torah. The Torah says you can't let one yantav go by without violating the essay, so you gotta bring it. Amrav Zmin Mishmei de Rava Kigon Shayachol Batseris. So one answer, a simple answer. Okay, so you were sick, or as Rashi says, the Vlad was sick over Shavuos. In other words, it just simply couldn't be brought as a carbon. Okay. And so therefore, you call him sick for work. So the illness also works in terms of getting you out of the positive commandment of Baal Te'achar. Okay, good. Rav Ashi Amar, Mai V'achlu V'lada Shlamin B'chag Diktani Chag Shavuos. Another suggestion, which the Gemara did not entertain originally, is that the reference to Chag over here is a reference to the holiday of Shavuos. Now, we don't normally do that, and the Gemara realizes that we don't normally do that. V'idach kol hecha didni Pesach tini atzeres. Look, we don't do that. We don't talk about Pesach and in the same sentence refer to Shavuos as Chag. In fact, how is Shavuos referred to in the context of Pesach? Atzeres. right? The Ramban on Chumash, right? I think it's spoken about often. I hope it is at least. Says that the Sfiras HaOmer is a way to look at Sfiras HaOmer is like it's like a long Chol HaMoed. And then what Shavuos becomes basically is the punctuation to the entire Pesach. The Sfiras HaOmer speaks to that. In other words, there's a basic connection between Shavuos and Pesach, which I think we all innately understand. Much like Shemini Atzeres is a punctuation to Sukkos. So, just a little bit more on delay, but okay. So, we wouldn't be talking about Pesach and then referencing Shavuos as just simply a holiday. We don't do that. If we're talking about Pesach, we're talking what Shavuos is going to refer to as Atzeres. No, there are two issues. There's the negative prohibition, and then there's the positive commandment. The positive commandment, Rav is saying as a flat statement, no debate, that you have one yontif. The negative prohibition, so that you have three yontifs. Or again, you'll go to the five opinions that we mentioned above, but let's say three opinions. Let's say three regalim, to make it simple. Right. It's not add-on. If I said add-on, so then fine. But in other words, whatever. It's the end of Pesach, much like Shemini Atzeres is the end of Sukkos. Okay. All right. In other words, according to Rebbe Meir, right? Rebbe Meir says that it's one yontif. So he'll say at the end of one yontif, both kick in, the positive and the negative. That's okay. V'amar Rava. Three lines down, we're on base. We're on Vav Amid Beis. The Amarava. Kevin Shavuot Lav Gimel Regalim B'chol Yom V'Yom Over B'Bal Te'Acher. Now, in terms of violating Bal Te'Acher, so how exactly does it work? So I'll tell you what the Gemara says, though. Although to the best of my understanding, you are after three regalim, you violate Bal Te'Acher, and then every day after that, once again, you keep violating Bal Te'Acher. Right, I'm sure we've all experienced this. I cannot be the only one. Right, the library book is overdue, and now what? Okay, so it's overdue. Right, but you come back a year later with the library book. Right, I know it's overdue, but you're gonna every day, and the library is gonna say, yeah, every day, correct, every day that you after you violate the deadline. So after every day, so you continue to violate, and the Gemara says just lamashal. I bring that as a marshal, but the Gemara says same thing regarding Baal Te'acher. Baal Te'acher, even after the third yontif is passed, and after you violate the lav, okay, I violate the lav. And now what? Every day you continue to violate the lav. Now, exactly what that means, I don't know. It means you're subject to malchus every single day? It can't be. I can't be right. First, it's a lav shein b'maisa, you're not getting malchus. So, practically speaking, what is this saying to us? I'm not sure. I understood. So Meisvei the Gemara challenges Echad Bechor VeEchad Kol Hakadoshim Kevin Shavur Alayim Shana Below Regalim Regalim Below Shana Over Bival Te'Acher. When it comes to Bechor, any carbon, once a year has gone by without yontifs, or once three yontifs gone by without a year, you violate Bal Te'Acher. Okay. Gemara is bothered by the following. Vahim mai tiyufta. Right. So vahim mai tiyufta. The Gemara says, "What just happened over here? You're asking a kasha. Where's the kasha?" So Amar Rav Kahana, man dekamosiv shapir kamosiv michti. Tana alavi kamahader less than bechol yom v'yom over beval te'acher. So the Gemara says, "Well, look, the author of this brisa is trying to teach us that after a certain time you violate bal te'acher. Why doesn't the author of this brisa then continue and make the point that every day after that, you violate Bal Te'acher? The Idach, but the Gemara says, that's not such a difficult question. Tana lemikbe balav kamahader, balav yisari lo kamahader. Look, the author of the Braisa just wants to tell us when the lav kicks in. Then the Braisa, the author of the Braisa, his agenda is not then to tell us, oh, and oh, by the way, you continue violating the lav. The author of the Braisa has one agenda, one mission, and that is, when does Bal Te'acher begin? And he accomplished that. Gufa, the Gemara says, okay, interesting brisa, let's go back, let's go over this brisa again. Echa b'chor v'echa kol ha'kadoshim kevan sh'ovar olayim shana below regalim, regalim below shana over b'Bal Te'acher. There are two different scenarios that one could violate Bal Te'acher. One, by crossing three yontifs. Two, by going an annual year. Now, it's interesting. Where did this come from? this idea of a year, and you violate Baal Te'acher, meaning three regalim has been the assumption up until this point in time. So where does the year come from? Not totally clear about that. But anyway, but you can violate Baal Te'acher if you cross a year. Now, Bishlam, a regalim below Shana Mishkachala, a Shana below regalim, Echa Mishkachala. Now we get to the point which I talked about in the beginning of today's daf, but here we are now towards the end of today's daf, and let's ask now a really reasonable question. You can go three regalim before you hit a year, and that'll happen every time. But but how can you go a full year and not have seen all three regalim? Right. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who happens to also be the Tana of our Mishnah, you're fine. Because it has to be three regalim in a row. So good. So you can now, we already talked about this. You can have a scenario where you're going to make your neder right after Pesach, and Shavuos, and Sukkos, and again, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, so you'll go well over a year.
But a year, you're talking about lunar or solar?
Wait, just wait 1 second. But Bishlam, now, but how can you do it? How do you get to a scenario in which you're going to cross a full year and not see all three regalim? It's nearly impossible. Now, Bishlam ala Rabbi Mishkachala Bishanamu Beres Detanya. So the Gemara says, look, well, first of all, like we've seen already a number of times, what do we mean when we say a year? So the Gemara says, now in another context in the Torah, that is a debate. Where else in the Torah does a year become significant in terms of buying a house in a walled city? Okay, we just saw it in Chumash, in Parsha. When you buy a house in a walled city, so it doesn't go back to the original owner. If the buyer gets to hold on to that house for a full year, so then it's his permanently. A halacha that applies to Bate Arechoma. Now, what does a year mean over there? So we learned together in Erechin. The Gemara now is going to reintroduce us to the fact. That's a machlok. It's the Tanya Shana Tamima Rebbe Omer Mona Gimel Meo Vashishim V'chamisha Yom Kimin Yimot Zachama. So the Tanakama says, I'm sorry, Shana Tamima, sorry. The Torah says a full year. Rebbe says that's 365 days. Okay? Like a solar year. Right? We don't ignore the solar year. We know this. Right? In other words, obviously our calendar is based on the lunar year, but we're totally cognizant aware of the solar year. In fact, a good part of our Masechta is going to be dedicated to the task of making sure that they remain in basic alignment with one another. Okay, that's a big topic coming up later. V'chachamim omrim monet yud beis chodesh miyom liyom. V'in misabra shana nisabra lo. No, it's yud beis chodesh. It's 12 months from one day to the next. And if it's a nibriyar, so then you get an extra month. So mishkachala la rabbi de akdisha basra chagamatzos de chimata shila adar basra shanamal yir regalam lo malu. So according to Rabbi, 365 days, perfect. So now we'll talk about where you were makdish the animal immediately after Pesach. And what happens? You went now into an Ibriyar. You went into a year where it had two Adars. So that gives you now an additional month, 29 days, let's say. So you're going to be well over 365 days, and you will have not hit three regalim. You will only have hidden Shavuos and Sukkos, and meanwhile, a full year has gone by. So according to Rabbi, you can do it. You can have gone a year without hitting three regalim.
According to Rabban, according to Rabbi Shimon, it could make sense because
the Gemara made that point already. You're right. The Gemara made that point. El Rabban and Heichem Ishkachala Kidni Rav Shmaya. So the Gemara says, but according to the Chachamim, where a year is defined by going from date to date, and you get the extra month of the Ibriyar, so how do you do it? How can you go an entire year and not see three regalim? It's impossible, right? So the Gemara says it's possible. Unlikely, but it's possible. If you like your calendar, you'll like these next 10 lines of Gemara. Otherwise, I wish you luck. Atzeres pamim, hey pamim, shisha pamim, shiva. Shavuos is a moving target, obviously, because it's not date connected. It is Pesach connected. So therefore, it's 50 days after the second day of Pesach. And sometimes it can come out on the 5th, 6th, or 7th day of Sivan. Keitzah shneim aleim chamisha. Shneim chasirim shiva. Echam alev, echasir shisha. You have two Rosh Chodeshes. Again, our calendar is fixed. Don't get confused by our fixed calendar. It could be that the two Rosh Chodeshes between Pesach and Shavuos are both Malay, which means Shavuos will be on the 5th day of Shavuos. Again, if you see the calendar, you totally understand what I'm saying. If both If Mali would be five. Again, think about it. I'm sorry for not... Yeah, correct. Mali would be, if both are Mali, it's five. If both are Chasser, comes out on seven. If one's Mali and one's Chasser, comes out on six. So that, and then, so you can have it. So what you'll do is, let me explain it now, and then we'll just finish up. So now it comes out now that you can be Makdish your animal on the sixth day of Sivan, where Shavuos already occurred on the fifth, and then the next year rolls around, and it'll be two Mali months, making Shavuos come out on the seventh. So now it's the sixth day of Sivan will be a full year, and you've only hit two Yontifs. So it's possible. Now the Gemara says, now this idea that months are sometimes Mali, sometimes Chasser, and there's no consistency, the Gemara says that's not agreed to by everyone. So the opinion of Acherim, we've seen this already a number of times. We just saw this back in Masechta Sukkah, is that month in, month out, Male Chasser, 29-30, averages out to 29.5, and that's a constant. And then if there is an extra month, that's always going to be another 29 days. The extra month is always going to be a Chasser. How does he make alignment between the solar year and the lunar year? That's a neat trick. At one point in my life, I'm going to understand it. I'm sure of it. But anyway, but fine. But the point is, it is possible to conjure up a scenario in which you can not 365, but year to year, date to date, and still have a year go by and only have two regalim, and that's because Shavuos is a moving target. Okay, so it's possible. Okay, Ad Kan, that is, we're coming to an end of the Baal Te'achra talk. I know it's been good. It's been three blada gemara, dalet hay and vav. A little bit more tomorrow, and then we move on in the Mishnah.